Welcome to Holden Village. Today, in the Creekside Room of Koinonia, the speaker is Julia Peshout, and she will be speaking on telling our stories. So, let's listen in on Julia Peshout.
I'm Julia Peshout, and I teach theater in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at a small college called Augustana. And Augustana is a church of the ELCA, and have worked there 5 years. And this piece is called Telling Your Stories, Weaving Community-Based Performance. And I try to steer clear of the word theater because most people in this venue, I find, get a little nervous about the idea that they have to get up and perform. And we'll be doing some stuff, but it's very low pressure. The point is to learn some tools. And I wanted to just kind of touch on why I think this is a good session in light of what Holden is doing this summer with the Weaving the World Tapestry. I particularly think that this is an excellent tool for exploring collaboration and diversity. It's a real nice bridge builder between communities. And I think theater is the appropriate medium for it because theater is about collaborating among different artists. We have so many different kinds of artists in the theater that work together. And many of them aren't trained as theater artists. They're plastic artists or visual artists, or they're musicians, or they're sculptors, or they're writers. I mean, theater is all embracing. In fact, we welcome new voices and new faces because those are the people who aren't trained in the conventions, so they teach us new things about how we can do what we do better. So it's something that can be owned by anyone and everyone, and there are no experts. There are people who've been with it longer, so they have some experience, but really you have valuable things to bring to you. Hi, come on in. Today what we're gonna do is first of all talk a little bit about the role of theater in collaborating, in creating connections. Then we're going to try and look at the stories that you have to tell and identify some of those and perhaps give you some insight about potential ways to use this material and take it back to your communities. The third thing we'll do is we'll share some tools and we'll do some exercises to help you develop the skills. And last, we're going to look at alternative media. And I had thought if we can, maybe we can do a couple of things about Holt to kind of just try it. So the first thing, role of theater in creating connections. I've worked in the theater now since I was 5, so it's a number of years as a little actor. I was an elf in the school play. That was my start, and I'm proud of it. Good woman. I tell you, we elves, we work hard. But I couldn't get enough of it, and it was also a place for me to feel at home because the theater embraces so many people who are often considered fringe folks. And as a child, I never felt like I quite fit in, and so I joined this group of misfits known as theater practitioners. And what happened is, over the years, that kind of sense of misfitness, I realized through it that I actually had a unique perspective to share. And I think it's a wonderful way to share information with others and to create a sense of connection. First thing that comes to mind for me with theater is that it's the word made flesh, if you use the biblical perspective. It's about taking literature, words, and putting them into the human body. It's about, I know plays can be about themes, but really this is, to me, good theater is not about anything. It is people in circumstance trying to work out something. And it's about ultimately about action, and it's ultimately about change. And good theater does that. It will often have a theme that arises out of it. You may have a play about Vietnam veterans, say, or you may have a group of narratives about African American women. So there's something that's identifiable, but quite often, what makes it good theater is that these people are working something out. And that's something anyone can identify with, that idea that we're all in struggle, that we're all moving through and changing in the world. So that, to me, the word made flesh is very important, that aspect. Second, it's a wonderful medium because it embraces so many different kinds of arts. It really is a homing place for so many kinds of artists and for so many kinds of individuals. I mean, it really is known as a team sport. It's collaborative at its very core, and it is a unique community. You don't have to be an expert to be involved, and I think that is also exciting about it. Out of this idea of embodiment is the idea that we're all individuals and that we're all embodied, that we're all in the flesh, and I think that is a connection point as well. So that's why I think theater is appropriate to this endeavor. And I've seen people listen in a way that they never would were you to lecture to them, were you to read to them. You know, it's sort of like it gives them their own connecting point and touchstone because they're in the dark, sort of, you know. They're watching, they may be involved, but it's come from a personal place, and you don't have to share that with others. The change can begin very privately. It really plants some nice seeds. Now, the stories we have to tell. I brought paper and pens for everybody. And the only problem with this room is that there's no hard surface. There's some LBWs here, if you'd like. Or Bibles, we can write on Bibles. Or we can use the table if you'd like to. We can draw this table up. And we can work at that. The plaster bandage from this morning. That's a good side, yeah. And we'll just share the pen. Looks like I planned ahead, doesn't it? Take quite a bit of paper because when we get to the tools part of the workshop, you'll have plenty of opportunity to help save trees. So,
help save what?
Trees.
Oh, okay.
I was being facetious. Happy birthday. There should be something on the other side of that that's just sort of extra cast off paper. What I'd like you to do is divide the paper into thirds. Just take a line across or fold it, whatever you want to do, but letter fold or yeah.
Horizontal?
Yeah, vertical.
Horizontal.
And on the corner, it's like, here's your paper. And here's your division. I just want you to write the word influences on the top one. Communities. And nation. And I'll just explain each of these briefly. We're going to take a moment, and I want you to just free associate for yourself what these words mean to you. But influences can be people, heroes, like Norwegian American Lutheran, whatever. Sort of very personal things that have changed your life. What are you connected to? Who are your influences? Mother, father, family, communities. What communities do you belong to? This can include a Holden Village community. It can include theater for me. It can include any kinds of activities that you've done or anything that you feel a part of, church. And finally, nation, that's a very large concept. But I'm using nation in the term of the Native American. What large body do you belong to, like the world, like human being, like animal? Okay, so that's a larger conceptual. So we're moving sort of from a very individual, experiential connection to broader, more abstract connections. But if you just want to kind of go through each of these sections and just note some thoughts about where you're at, you know, what connections do you have in the world? What communities do you belong to? Who has influenced you?
Region grandmother. a very optimistic father, reading. I had a less able friend who, you know, in her way was a real influence in my life. Education, teachers throughout my life. Working, my husband, who has brought a sense of adventure to my life. And being of the generation that was, you know, aware of the Depression and living, you know, my earliest memories are World War II times.
Okay.
My influence as a young child to be from a small town. And my mother and father, and my grandfather in particular, and they did this. I too remember this World War. I was 7 when the war broke out. We lived in Kewell, so we had air raid practices, and then we had women, but that was real, and that's real for them anyway. But, and then probably other than my immediate family, my drama teacher, people that really inspired me, and helped me to realize I had some talent. Good.
Thanks, Paul. Well, thank you. Some that are different. My wife, Jim Wayne, a pastor here. Another pastor, John Holston. Another, perhaps too heroic figure, generally political figures who reflect nonviolence, economic justice, environmental concern, democratic participation.
Just small things, little
things. I think the area that I was born in and raised in for much of my youth, the Western North Dakota, is an enormous
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I can read the book.
Dakota is great.
Geography.
It is a great.
Kind of, maybe that's why that's kind of
impression
right now. And some of the family members that I have, a number of older half siblings, and probably kids and relatives. And I'm a member of a lot of peace and justice kind of communities.
Organizations.
Church. Nation, I think. Maybe the green wing of the Democratic Party. if there is any such thing.
these all kind of, these things all kind of, you might have noticed they all kind of move into each other. That you talk about your Norwegian grandmother and then you talk about your Norwegian heritage. Where you talk about your participation, say, in the Vietnam War, and then you talk about Vietnam veterans. You know, you begin to see the themes arising even as you hear yourself speaking about your personal experience. All of this, anything that you have to say, should come inherently from where you're from. You can only be where you're at. And where you're at comes from where you've been. And so you first of all have to have a fundamental interest in the material to make it live. You've got to have a driving need to tell it, because the need to tell is fundamental to theater. I have to tell you a story, and it's going to change your life, okay? And you can see that, you know, you can do a number of kinds of productions. You can do ones based around themes like social justice, like equality, like the green movement, like, oh gosh, there's all kinds of things you can talk about. You can talk about an event, a major event like the war, like World War I, World War II, the Desert Storm. You can talk about, and then, or do war, you know. You can do a number of different things. You can talk about communities, and community can be a broad topic. It can be disabled persons. It can be about, you can do a show about disability, not from a perspective of, oh, disabled person, but what it means to live in a body that's other-abled. You know, what it means to have a body that doesn't function in the way a sort of two-legged person. What do we call them? Hi, I'm horizontally challenged, as some of my friends say, you know, because they don't have the ability to walk. So what is it to live in that body, and how does that change your perspective or slam on the world? What is it to live with AIDS? What is it to live being gay or lesbian? What is it to live in a different kind of world? Okay, so community can be very broadly defined. It can also be very traditionally defined. What is it to be a member of this church? You know, and you can tell your church story through this. What is it to be a member of Holden Village? And hi, did you want to join us?
What are you?
We're creating theater.
No.
Okay.
One of the things I put in our nation, because I didn't get past the first part, was being part of the family of God.
Yes, what it means to be Christian, or what it means to have spirit or spirituality. There's all kinds of ways to focus this material. The first thing to do, though, is to focus what your interest in, what your community is. What are you trying to talk about? Okay, again, plays aren't about, fundamentally, they're about people, you know, living. They're about life, but you can have a theme that kind of undergirds it. This is, and this takes me to this little piece of paper. This is a script I helped compile from a class I directed, taught in January. It's called Are You Gonna Go My Way? The class was called Taking It to the Streets, and Taking It to the Streets was about generating material for a play, which we put on our calendar for the season, and we made a commitment to produce something that didn't exist the year before. And so I said, I'll teach this class, we'll gather the materials, and we'll make it happen. And we did. Taking It to the Streets, Are You Gonna Go My Way, is about alcohol use, and it's directed toward teenagers. It's for the 9th, 8th to 12th grade range. But we got a grant at Augustana, and so we were able to tie into that. It was a FIPSE grant, Fund for Improvement of Post-Secondary Education. And FIPSE gives money for doing non-traditional co-curricular kinds of education, like getting into the dorms or working it out with a play, or you know, any kinds of things that aren't necessarily in the classroom. And so we hooked onto this to do alcohol education. And our part of the grant was to get the students into the classroom learning this material, and then to see what our outreach would be. So this started as nothing. It started as two faculty members going, you want to do a play? Yeah. And she's a wellness center director, and I'm a theater teacher, and I've had some experience recently with writing workshops. But I want to read to you, I'm going to share just a real quick narrative to show you how something can become nothing through this material. This is a fairly, I'll just read you a little snippet. There are several. This one is about a young woman who runs away, and it came from a collective narrative. It was from a young woman who actually experienced this, and so we turned it into a monologue. And this is just one example of how the material can work. After about 9 months of straight partying, Susie and me, my friend, we ran off for about a month. Well, this guy that we partied with, he said, I have this place in Vegas, you wanna go? We'll be there later. He gave us some kind of address and a little number for his little code box or whatever. So we get our cash together, we get on a Greyhound. We finally got there in the middle of the night with all our stuff. All our stuff. There was no house. There was no street. No nothing. Okay? So you take a personal experience and you turn it into somebody speaking about it. Okay? It's not just me saying, yes, I wanted to read you about a young woman. You know, when she was 17, she ran away from home for a month, and her parents had to pick her up in Vegas. You know, and you kind of go, yeah, so what? When it's like, Jim talks about knocking on the doorstep. You know, you can't turn a person away when they come and they knock on your doorstep. You might hear about some disabled child, you know, living in Chicago. Well, if that little disabled child came to your doorstep, you go, oh, let me get you a doctor. You know, it's easier to say no when things aren't right in our face. This puts it a little more right in your face. So we're going to use some of these techniques to explore this possibility. Okay, how do we make the word flesh then? These are some writing exercises that come from a couple of books. One of them is Writing Down the Bones, which is in the bookstore, by Natalie Goldberg. There's a book that's not in the bookstore called Writing the Natural Way by Gabrielle Rico, R-I-C-O. And she does a lot of sort of right brain creativity stuff. She talks about two kinds of, I've done this for a week now. I've repeated myself a lot, but I'm gonna continue to repeat myself because it's true stuff. Have you ever heard of Betty Edwards? She did Drawing with the Right Side of the Brain. It was a book that was very popular about 20 years ago.
She was here.
Was she really here?
I think she's the one. I may be wrong about that.
Oh, great, but, great. She's going to be saying I'm doing her stuff wrong.
Yeah.
Betty, if you listen to this tape, I really love your work. Anyway, that's for all of our listeners and posterity. But she talks about, Betty Edwards first took a lot of research, and she has written a book called freeing the artist within. And she does a lot of stuff about not blocking yourself. But she talks about two kinds of ways of perceiving experience and organizing experience. And one is called the design mind, and one is called the sign mind. And what Edwards posits is that with our design mind, we take all of this stimulus that's out there, because there's so much stimulus, and we pattern it. We put it in order. And then the sign mind is much more linear. It's not right brain, left brain, because that's very sort of split. But what the sign mind does is it takes all of this order, and then it takes a focus and direction. It's much more dynamic. And so what RICO does is uses that information and some exercises to help get your own design and mind, sign mind working together. The first exercise we're going to do is called clustering, and you need a clean piece of paper. Have you ever done this? Anybody clustered? About 800 billion trillion times. So you get to do it again. Clustering is a nice way to get your creative juices going. First thing you do is somewhere on the page, usually toward the top or in the middle, you draw a circle. The reason that RICO says a circle is important is because it's an organic form. She says there are some spiritual connections there. It also symbolizes beginning. We start from zero. It's also, usually when we draw circles quickly, it has a continuing energy, like the Zen practice of painting. I know that's all very metaphysical for writing a word in it, but you're going to put a word in it. And the word I'd like you to write in there is hand. And what you do when you cluster is you just focus on that initial image. It might be a phrase, it might be a word. And then you stream of consciousness write, free write, words that come from hand. Once you leave hand, you don't come back to it. You don't go hand, arm, hand, fingers, hand. You just sort of go where the words lead you. Hand, fingers, toes, leg, body, flesh, skin, pores, cells, heart beating, thumping, flowing, pressing, pulling, in, out, in, whatever. Whatever your thing.
So we write these within the circle?
No, you just sort of go down. So you'll just sort of begin clustering out. You don't have to draw the arrows, you can just sort of go hand. Might. I mean, you'll never know where the cluster's going to go, but just write as many as you can, straight down. You've got, just read your cluster, start with the word hand, and just see where it goes. Let's start, Carl.
Hand, mouth, eat, food, grow, harvest, justice, peace, center, heart, people, together, world, conscious.
Did you hear a shift? Did you hear a shift in his thinking? Would you raise your hand?
Yeah.
Hand, mouth, eat, food, grow, harvest, justice, peace, center, heart, people, together, world, conscious.
Very good. Whatever you write is good, by the way. That is a basic rule. Listen for the shifts, okay?
Deb.
Thank you.
Oh, I did it.
Just
start over.
If you go back to the beginning one, just read the word again. Hand, whatever hand.
Hand, old, grandmothers, old, joy. Hand, poem, printers, ink, writers, children.
It sounded like a shift was about to happen.
That's okay. Yeah.
Mine was more word association.
That's all right.
And work, energy, people, friends, need, contribution, gifts, capability.
And it sounded like it could have continued.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
Join. Hand, fingers, fingernails, energy, force, relax, look, smooth, caress. It was going somewhere.
Hand, love, knife, blood, O.J. Nicole, Ron, youth, death, life, mellowed.
Very interesting cluster.
You say you're from L.A.
All right.
Mellowed had this line in the natural world. People have two lives, the life they learn from the rhythm, the life they live with after that.
Yeah. I remember. There's a couple of things. when you cluster, you don't just do one. What happens is it kind of turns into an octopus. You just, and we'll do one, but you write until you cluster out. It's sort of like, I don't know. And then you go to the next one. You don't question, you just sort of look at the word, write it out, look at the word, write it out. The shift is important. And it's not that you have to have a shift in every one. What will happen is the shift will become apparent, usually in one, maybe two of the legs. The shift is what is happening in your mind when the design mind, which takes all of these elements and orders them, sort of like apples, oranges, pears, your mind's kind of doing this. Okay, these are triangles, these are circles. Oh yeah, squares go here. If I could draw squares. And your mind's kind of sorting out all of the categories it's comfortable with. Then suddenly what happens is the sign mind comes in and says, that's what I want to talk about. Justice. And so boom, you know exactly what happens and it becomes very clear and then you get a burst of energy with it usually. But your mind is starting to sort out and focus so that you have something to say. It's about finding your, I call it finding your voice. It's about moving forward with what you have to say. Let's do another cluster, and we're going to cluster this time the word, and actually interesting, justice would be our cluster. For the, and you can use another line or you can get another piece of paper. There is no shortage of recycling here. So go for it. Okay, we'll stop. This is a tougher one because it's a little more broad, and the more broad we go, the more sort of ephemeral it is, and it's, you know, do I say everything, do I say nothing, sort of thing. Can we hear just a little bit? Carl, can we hear yours?
Why?
There is no right or wrong.
I went three directions.
Okay.
Justice, peace, love, work, hard, complete, complicated. Justice, involved, community, work, people, honesty, value. Justice, beauty, within, without, together. Harding would be a name of the worst.
Death.
Justice, river, flow, music, people, hands, reaching, touching, begging. Justice, prisons, shut out, cries. South Africa, children, no childhood.
Okay. Jim? Justice, peace, order, serenity, organization. Justice, equality, rights, sharing, sacrifice, limits. Justice, political power, using fear.
Okay. Jim?
Justice, legal system, unfair, painful. God-fearing, law-abiding, then I've had justice. Sometimes there is none. Low water table for irrigation, mental illness, unfair, AIDS.
Mm, that's very strong. Great images.
Different.
Roland?
Justice, determining, sorting things, material, relational, distributive, economic, political, Reaganism, outrage.
Those are so close together.
There are several rules that Natalie Goldberg in her book offers as part of your working practice, and I want to share them with you because I do think they apply. The first, and they apply insofar as they offer you encouragement and give you some limits to help you keep from stopping your creative motor from going. The first one is don't think. Don't think about it, just do it. The second one is don't edit, no crossing out. If you feel like you're stuck, doodle, move the pen. That's the third one, keep the hand moving. She says that these, by the way, she says that these rules work for everything. They apply to bicycling, they apply to cooking, they apply to sex, they apply to everything.
You mean we're not supposed to think as we write?
No, we're supposed to just, you're supposed to take what comes in, but you're not supposed to sort of say, oh, that's a wrong thought. Don't think about it.
What do you think?
Huh?
What do you think?
You just sort of, you let your right brain do the thinking and let the hand do the responding.
Big way to rewrite.
Yeah.
When you rewrite.
Don't let the critic come in. The next thought is don't stop. Don't stop. The next thought is let go. Let go of your predisposition to a certain topic. The material will tell you what it needs to be. You need to listen to it. Maybe you think you want to write a play about a black woman in South Dakota, but suddenly your character is this old Greek man on the Aegean Island. And suddenly it's a different play. You need to listen, or else everything goes and your brain goes, I can't do this. Last two thoughts. Go for the jugular. If you want to say nasty things or awful things or dirty things or mucky or cracked things, you say them. You can edit them out later. But you have to have freedom to speak about those awful, nasty, mucky things. And lastly, find a sweetheart. Goldberg talks about finding an inner voice that's positive. You all have a critical inner voice. Everyone does. The person who says, well, that was dumb. Shh, stupid. We get enough of that from the outside world and ourselves. Find a way to pat yourself on the back, to give yourself a boost, to treat yourself well. Whether it's, I sat down for my 10 minutes today and I wrote. Even my 10 minutes. This poem has a lot of energy in it. I like that. What things do you like about your work? Even when you feel tempted to say nothing. I've been working in the pot shop, and it's been years and years since I've thrown pots. And yesterday I was going, this is awful! And then my sweetheart said, yes, but you're doing it. And it's just a temptation not to beat up on yourself, but to at least give yourself a stroke or two.
So it's because I'm a male sweetheart, is it?
Yeah. And find your sweetheart. Inner sweetheart. And those are your rules. Don't think, don't edit, don't stop. Keep moving. Go for the jugular. Let go and find your sweetheart. Okay, so we've clustered. Now, what I want you to do is find a fresh page, and we're going to use this clustering to see what we get. On top of your page, I'd like you to write, when I look, I see. Don't edit, don't censor, just say what comes to mind. I'll give you 3 minutes. Go. Just use whatever you need to say. Just begin writing. Don't edit, don't censor. When I look, I see.
Not anything.
Whatever's in there.
Not based on our...
No, it doesn't have to be based. What do you want to say? It doesn't have to be based on the cluster. Sentences. This is sentences now. It's not clusters.
Oh, sentences.
Yeah. Okay. This is sentences now. This is called pre-writing. Sorry.
When I look, I see.
When I look like an unfinished sentence, I want you to complete the sentence and continue. When I look, comma, I see dot, dot, dot. Like there's an ellipsis there. And then you continue.
You don't care where we look.
Mm-mm. You just write what comes to mind. You can start with Roland, because he's at the opposite end of the table.
I'm not sure if I understood this, but when I look, I see nodding pine, paper, table, women, man, the sunshine in the window, tree, the room, the world of beauty, decay, possibility, and tragedy, smugness, denial, hopelessness, downsizing, / right-sizing, smugness.
You know, when you said downsizing, I almost thought you were going to say upsizing, oversizing, undersizing, you know. That's a poem. You just sort of produce a poem. Add some punctuation, change the form a little bit. It's suddenly a poem.
Okay. When I look, I see, I'm not going to talk about this girl. When I look, I see bitterness, sadness, depression, despondency, pain, bravery, strength, compassion, love, renewal. And then I went to the flip side. I also see it holding joy in the day, breath of new life. It's going to continue.
Great.
When I look, I see greenness in the world around me. It's produced by the water flowing from the sky, from the mountains. The motion of water striking rocks and banks is like that of children running, bumping, yelling, being themselves. If no one has told them, don't run, you're too noisy. Then what was I like as a child? Noisy in a world of quite quiet grown-ups.
Great. When I look, I see a room of people listening to Phoebe Hansen talking about her friend Natalie, notebooks tossed about her porch on the way to the garbage. Natalie's rules, this time, give yourself permission to write the worst junk in the world. Phoebe complains you can't throw out all those journals. They're junk, the reply. They were. To write well, you have to write a lot of junk. And now Christine is in Mexico instead of across the chairs, living a story worth writing, and I put my pencil down.
Neat. Some very neat visceral images in that. Some very neat visceral images. And what's fun is it just shifts. You don't edit it.
When I look, I see a world of beauty, scarred, hard, recreating with our hands, God's hands, hoping that the next thing we create is better than the last. There are so many possibilities for the good and so many possibilities for the evil. We need to enable the good outlets and help them succeed. We are not here to just sit by and look all the time, but to be partners in recreating in the best way that we can. Hopefully, we will be enabled in our work.
Now, it's interesting. We could probably take several of these pieces and link them together in some way, do a worship service around them, use it as liturgy, do a piece. What might be fun, maybe if we can get it together, would be to do something around Holden, life at Holden. I mean, just the little snippet that you've got and about the children. Your piece, even. There are pieces in there that you can use your piece. I mean, your piece. There's all sorts of things. It's just then selecting it out. All right. What I'd like you to do now, we're going to try a different exercise, and this is a point of view shift, and it starts with first oral narrative. And we have, we'll do three pairs of people. I'd like you to think about a person who you know that has impressed you in your life. Something that they have done that has shown justice, and it needs to be an actual thing. Like, I knew this, you know, I guess mine would be a good friend of mine was born in Queens, New York, to a very poor family. Her father was gone, and she was raised, and as she says, I was potty trained on the chock full of nuts can. And she went through life trying a lot of different things, and when she was in her 20s, she began to discover her African American heritage, and she developed a show about Sojourner Truth, okay? And she took it to Jamaica, and she took it to Haiti, and she is, I think, an embodiment of justice. She is a warm, loving, open person. And I would just tell you a little, I would say something about her. Or you would tell me about an event where your father, because the banker was closing down on the poor immigrants coming into this to town, was closing down on their residences, your father put up money for a note to buy these people a house. Or you could do any kind of an event like that. I want you to think of a justice event, something that you struck you as very important and of which you're proud that you would model after. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to tell our story to each other, all right? Just share your story with the other person about someone or an event that you remember, okay? Don't have to write it down, just want you to think about it and just tell the story in as simple terms as possible, okay? So take a moment to think about an event or a place or a moment. Something broad and noble. It can be as simple as your grade school teacher doing something for you that you remember that struck you. Something your child did for another kid. Make it events that appeal to you. Okay. Do you know each other?
We're married.
I figured. So you don't get to work together. you get to work with somebody else.
I don't have one either.
Do you have something about? Did you do something for your kid once, or if you have children, is there something a teacher did for your child? Perhaps that your church did for an individual, or somebody in your church did for someone. It doesn't have to be. I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you another story. This is my story. I just forgot it, didn't I? Shoom, quick in, quick out. My mother. My mother, who is now deceased, was a nurse. And my mother was always very, very careful about, you know, she was a very careful person, I would always say, don't undress for anybody but your mother or your doctor.